We're on Genesis, continuing our series in Genesis, and we're into the topic that's called the fall in the Garden of Eden. And when we look at that, it's a topic that's got real depth to it. And I struggled. I thought I had a clear idea of how I was going to speak, and I often find that when I think I've got the clear idea is the time that I struggled to get it all together at the end of it. So it's been a bit like that this time. So we're going to read some of the, I think, most difficult Bible passages later on today. And I don't want to escape from reading those to you because I think it's good for us to wrestle with some of those. But I also want to keep it simple. Simple in the understanding and simple in what the challenge is that we take away at the end of it. So I'm going to bob between those two things. So we're going to do that. So the topic I've got for us today is choose to be who God created you to be. Choose to be who God created you to be. So we're going to start off with a quick practice run for making choices. You've got the piece of paper in front of you there. And I'm going to get some show of hands as we go through this one quickly to try and make it quick fire. So you're going to have to think quick. Okay, so get yourselves ready for which of the choices there. Which would you choose, the apple or the cake? Apple. Cake. Apple first.
Apple.
Cake. Okay, right. Which would you choose, apple or Windows? Apple first. Windows. Okay, which would you choose, the electric Volvo or the Rolls Royce? Volvo. Rolls Royce. Oh, not so many takers on the Rolls Royce, but there are some in there. Okay. Right, which would you choose? A nice dinner date? There's a wise man there. I pulled out the picture as a voucher. So that you would choose you could take the person of your choosing for the dinner date. And then when I flicked through the PowerPoint at the end, I suddenly saw that it had Love Julia on the bottom. So we'll assume it's a voucher for you to take the person of your choice on a dinner date or to use your money to stick in the church collection box. Ooh. John can close his eyes now. Who wants the dinner date? Who wants to give the money into the church collection box? Okay. Right. I said we'd try and make it quick fire. Hopefully you were all listening to John's message last week and you took notice of what your partner, if you're here with somebody, had as all their answers to those questions. Okay. And if you didn't answer the same thing, you're in trouble. Because you weren't aligned. Your choices weren't the same as their choices. So we often come at choices just from a perspective of what's right and what's wrong. And they would have had a big debate with me because you were going to justify why the cake is better than the apple, or why Windows is better than Apple, or how you could sell the Rolls Royce and buy lots of the electric Volvos for other people as well. We go straight for the right and wrong, but actually, we're going to look into a romance relationship. The first question is, were you aligned? Were you aligned? So, as we start to think into the topic, choose to be what God created you to be. This is the first Sunday in Advent, where we think about hope. So we start off in Genesis, and I get to tell you how blessed you were. How blessed you were. And then I'm going to tell you how much trouble you are in. And then I'm going to tell you how blessed you can be. Choose to be what God created you to be. But it's Advent, so don't keep calm. Be excited. It's nearly Christmas. Okay. And try and convey that to John, because he loves preaching the Christmas message, but I don't think he likes the tinsel quite so much.
So. I have to now, I'm married.
So don't be calm, be excited, it's nearly Christmas. Now when I try and think about how to convey what Christmas is really about to other people, my poor mind goes to, well, and this is because lots of gatherings you go to, you have to wear Christmas jumpers. Well, first off, I think Christmas jumpers are a waste of time because you go to a party where it's hot and warm. So why do you want to wear a jumper? So I try and find Christmas t-shirts. So here's the selection of Christmas t-shirts I've had a quick look at. Okay. Wise men still seek him. I thought that's a very good one.
Yeah.
The problem is it tends to be a conversation stopper. And I want things to be a conversation starter. So then I was trying to work out whether this one would work. And it says, catch up with Jesus. Let us praise and relish him, because he loves me from my head to my tomatoes. And the other one, and again, this doesn't really get a constructive conversation going. Just seems to be somebody who would be down on Christmas. But I want to show you in the context today of how blessed we were, how much trouble we're in, and how blessed we can be, that Christmas is about hope, but spoiler alert, he dies. Nearly took all of those out because I wasn't sure whether they were the right intro for this, but I think it sets the big scene. Okay, so Genesis 3:1-7, choose to be who God created you to be. So let's read Genesis 3:1-7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." If you knew who God created you to be, you'd never want to be anyone else. Think of the journey that we've had so far through Genesis. An almighty and all-powerful God created it all. And he created it perfectly. He created it so that there were relationships so that we could share it together. He created us as the crown of that creation in his image, able to see, feel, and experience the same things as God does, able to work as he does, to have sovereignty over some things as he has given us. He created us in his image. He put us in a place that's called paradise. We had everything. What do you want for Christmas? People give lots of quick, simple answers. Most of them available on Amazon. Other websites are available. Or if you're about to enter Miss World, then suddenly the list changes and it's world peace. No more hunger, no more war, all of those things. Well, all of those things describe what life was in paradise. So two people that had everything chose to sin. chose to not align themselves with God and what he had said, but they chose to do something else. And then God appears to walk in the garden and he asks them what's happened. And you all know the old story, the old joke, I'm sure, which, where Adam essentially just says, well, I did what my wife told me to. And Eve says, well, I did what the serpent told me to, the snake. And the snake is left with no leg to stand on. Old joke. But think about it. Often we make excuses for our sin based on how tough our situation was, based on how desperately we needed something and how unfair it was that we didn't have it. And that was the only reason we had a choice, we say. Because of the problem, the sin was okay. Well, Adam and Eve in that first situation were in paradise. They had no excuse. They had no reason that they needed to sin, other than that they chose to do something different to what God had said. They chose not to align with God at that moment. They were created. That's a statement and a sentence in itself, isn't it? They were part of the perfect creation. But they were created with a purpose. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Isaiah 43:7. We were made for a purpose. We were created for God's glory, but we choose not to align ourselves with that. So what is sin? What is sin? I can't help myself but give an example that I've given before, but I think it's helpful, so I'll just try repeating it for some of it to stick with you. I remember my daughter Hannah when she was about 2 years old, and we were visiting a friend's house where they had a very long, thin lounge, and at the end of it was a doorway into their kitchen. And we were sat on the sofa at one end and the kitchen was at the other end. And we said to Hannah, don't go in the kitchen. So what was her immediate response? She looked at us and she kept looking at us as she turned to move in the direction of the kitchen. And she kept looking at us as she moved towards the kitchen. And then when she got to the actual boundary into the kitchen, she kept looking at us while she stood on one foot, gradually leaning over to touch the floor inside the kitchen. At what stage did she disobey me? And would it have made a difference if she ran straight to the kitchen at full speed and just jumped up and down inside the kitchen looking at me? What is sin? Are you more of a sinner than the person sat next to you? Or the person who isn't here? Are you in the kitchen jumping up and down? Or are you just looking at me close to the sofa, but thinking about heading to the kitchen? What is sin? Adam and Eve were in paradise. They had world peace. They had food. They had love. They had roles to do, things to perform. And yet in that situation, they thought, maybe we know better than God what's going to satisfy us at this moment and how things can go better than us, better for us. And so they stepped towards the kitchen and headed over to the kitchen and right into the kitchen. Choose to be who God created you to be. It's a constant set of choices. Do I want what God wants for me? It's a moment by moment decision that you need to be making all the time. So, the theologians have struggled with this one. And one of them came up with a statement that says this: do we sin because we are sinners, or are we sinners because we sin? Okay, do we sin because we are sinners, or are we sinners because we sin? Well, let me give you a clue as to where some of that comes from. We're going to read in Romans chapter 5 and 12 to 19. And it says this: therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who were sinning, was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of the grace that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Good Romans language that you have to have your brain on and thinking about as you read it. But the easy part of the gospel message that we all like is one man, God became man, Jesus, the message of Christmas. One man dying for our sins gets forgiveness for all of us. Yeah, I can buy into that. I like that message. One man's action gave forgiveness for us all. But it didn't start there, did it? It started with one man's actions. Adam brought death for us all. Because of Adam's choices, we were all born not innocent babies, but sinners. Don't like that one so much. Doesn't sit so comfortably with me. Do we sin because we are sinners? Or are we sinners because we sin? If it was on the piece of paper for choices, I wonder which one you'd go with. It's quite difficult, really. Actually, if we sin because we're sinners, that's a good excuse, isn't it? I was born this way, I'm naturally predisposed to it, so I'm off the hook. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Oh, but I still seem to have consequences for it. That's unfair. Well, Adam's sin, in some part, has affected us all. But that's not fair. I'm perfect. I've never sinned. I think I could probably find somewhere where you have sinned. In fact, let's go back one stage before you get to that point, Romans 7, 15 to 24. Let's have a look at that one, another well-known passage. Paul talking says this: for I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have a desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. So, the simple way to preach Genesis 3 would be to say, Adam and Eve messed it up, off you go, don't mess it up. But Paul said here in Romans that you will. That even if you leave here with the best intention of making every choice right, to choose to be who God created you to be, you're still going to mess up and sin. Romans 3:23, very well known verse: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So even if you want to blame Adam, tough, you've also messed up. So we can blame you, find you guilty in your own right. And James 2 verse 10, and this is another verse I always found very hard to stomach. It says, for whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point. They just got it wrong once, in one small point. That person, it says, is guilty of breaking the whole law. You're sinners. You're condemned by your own action. You're condemned by your own choices, because even if, like Adam and Eve, you had everything perfect, you choose not to align yourself with who God created you to be. You choose not to act for his glory. And there are consequences for that. As soon as something is wrong in paradise, it's not paradise anymore. As soon as we allow sin to break our relationship with God and to break our relationship with each other, we've lost the place of blessing that God created for us, and we've lost the ability to be everything that God created us to be as individuals. So the passage that Simon read out from the book today, Gentle and Lowly, I think was brilliant. Because, and you can ask her for a copy of that bit later if you want to use, in fact, we'll probably end up in the devotions, or I suggest it should do anyway, because you should be in a place where you are just in utter, I want to say all the things that you don't expect us to say that you feel when you come to church. You're in a place of utter despair and shame when you realize how you fail God. And yet, he's waiting for us. He's ready to receive us in that place. So another passage that says that very well is Psalm 51, where David is messed up in his life. And he comes to God, and his plea is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. You were very blessed. Adam and Eve were very blessed. But their choices, which are exactly the same as your choices have been, were to walk away from God in that moment and to have consequences for choosing to sin, to not align themselves with God. But when we look at those, we see that they actually got put out of the Garden of Eden. They got put out of paradise. It talks about them having to labor to work the fields. It talks about pain in childbirth, and I guess a whole load of other bodily decay that comes in with that. And it talks about death coming into the world. And we've already prayed for people today who've known somebody who's died recently, and we know the pain that comes with that separation. All of that stuff happens when we choose to go away from what God wanted for us. But message of hope, Christmas. Message of hope, Easter. God has created an opportunity for us to come back into that paradise of a relationship with him. And we don't just arrive there and say, oh, that's it, I'm back in the garden. But his intention is that we come back completely into that image of God that he put us in us. He restores us that we can have the character that he does, that we can be pure, holy, loving, joyful as he is, that we can have peace. All of those things come as we come back into a relationship with him. And we sit around with nothing to do? No. It says that he created us for a purpose. The first one is for his glory. And the second one is ways that he wants to reach out to others through us. So the two greatest commandments are,
love God
Yeah. Some people have to almost sing it, don't they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and love all. So loving God and loving others. But it's really about getting back to that aligned relationship with God that we have at the beginning. That's the choice that I'm challenging you to make day by day. Not just to think of sin as a line where you do things that seem right or wrong, where you might get together with a whole bunch of other people and decide which one is right or wrong. It's about aligning yourself with God, that you know his heart for you in those situations. Whether you think going in the kitchen is fine doesn't really matter. If you're aligning yourself with your Father, then you know when he said don't do it, you don't want to do it. All we have to do is to make the choice. But the weird thing, because the Bible often has twists where we struggle to put things together, the weird thing comes when we read John 15:16, and it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may bear, so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. We're into a lot of apples today, except it never says it's an apple anywhere, actually. Whatever that fruit was in the Garden of Eden, we're challenged also to be fruit bearers. We have to make choices to align ourselves with God. But actually, the fact we can have a relationship with God is about the fact that he chose you. So when you're feeling helpless, when you're feeling worthless, when you're feeling like the person that nobody else would have any time for, that aligns yourself with the emotions of what Simone read to us, that's the moment that God says, come close. I chose you. I know you. All the bits that you think nobody else knows, well, I know those too. And I'm pulling you to me. I'm showing my love to you. And I'm not going to somehow endure you sitting in the corner just over there. I want to restore you fully. And I want you to be in union with me, bearing fruit as you do the things that I have prepared for you to do. So it's a choice. Do I sin or not sin? You can think of it in that language. It's helpful for us to do the black and white bit, to do all the theology. But ultimately, it's about, do you want to align yourself with God? Or do you want to say, he might have created the whole world. He might be all wise. He might have done it without any mistakes. He might be all knowing. He might be all powerful. But right now, I think I know better. What's your choice? Let's pray. Father, we want to read Genesis and be in awe of who you are. An all-powerful God, a God who wields tremendous power and yet has interest in the smallest detail. You created it all and you made it perfect. And you created us as the crown of that creation. Father, we marvel at you, and yet if we're honest, honest first with ourselves and then honest with you, we often despair at the choices that each of us has made. Father, thank you that you don't leave us in that place of shame, but you chose to make a way that we can be restored in our relationship with you, that we can be free, that we can know your help to have the power to make right choices. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for your spirit in us. And we pray that we might choose to walk in the knowledge of those two things, that we might choose to want to walk with you in a paradise-like place where you have made things, all things, ourselves included, perfect again. Help us to do that daily, in Jesus' name.